Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Pat Nagy, Chicago Bears.
Perry. That one registered 3.8. Another Super Bowl record. The first refrigerator to score.
Here's Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
You know, I got sucked in today watching the Bears Super Bowl from 1986, January of 86.
Oh, right. You got sucked into watching the whole thing?
Well,
it is very exciting.
You watch the fridge and then you look up some other things. Yeah. Remember one of the first plays of the game where McMahon was running down the field and he got hit and it flipped him over? I thought, that's it. He's done.
Oh, I kind of do remember that, but I don't really remember that.
Do you remember where you were for the Bears Super Bowl?
I absolutely 100% do remember. I was in Orland Park, Illinois, on the couch.
Okay.
I think I was sick, and I was watching it with my family.
You think you were sick?
Well, I know that I had the flu. It was either during the Super Bowl or it was the week prior or 2 weeks prior, one of the playoff games. So I remember laying on the couch being sick and being excited for the Bears.
Yep.
And then watching the game. So I watched the whole thing with my mom and dad. And my brother.
Usually, let's see, where was I in 85? I was in college, right? 86. January of 86?
I was in eighth grade.
Was I? Yeah.
No, maybe I was
a freshman in college.
Oh, yeah. Right, because you're that much older than me, so I was a freshman in high school. Oh, uh-huh. We've just figured that out.
Yes, we did.
I wasn't old enough to be running around.
We had everybody in the neighborhood over to our house. We had three different TVs. It was a big deal being able to watch television and eat in the living room.
Oh, because you didn't get to do that.
Never.
With all those kids, no one snuck away and ate in the living room?
Never. No, you just didn't. No, and there was no TV and there was no reason. Remember you always had that living room that nobody went in and you wondered why do we have this room?
On the south side, we called it the French room.
The French, yes.
The French room.
The French room.
You didn't go in there.
But yeah, everybody came over. I remember my dad was so excited. He had Polish sausage. Oh, this is going to be a great day. We got beef and we got Polish sausage. You can have both.
I think we might have catered from somebody. I remember it was like Iwan's Catering. No, we didn't have a big party. Iwan's, I got to think of the name. We just had the family in. And I'm sure that Barbara made a lot of popcorn and a lot of food.
Really? That's good.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
How did you watch the game with all those people, though? I like to keep it small so I can really focus, especially when it's my team.
And the thing is, they didn't have big screens back then. And the second TV that we had in the living room, and I remember this. I sat in a wooden chair, which was so uncomfortable. But it was great because the Bears were winning.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was a 19-inch television that we were watching because the big one was in the den area, the family room. And then the living room had like a 19. you knew what you knew.
Yeah.
Hey, this is great. We got a TV in the living room.
Do you remember when the big screens really started coming out? It was like, holy moly, look how big that screen is, and I could have it in my house? Because they only had them in bars.
Oh, God, I love that. That was such a great day.
It was such a great day, and it's so sad that we don't get to have another one today.
Matt Nagy, Coach of the Year.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I mean, how great was he up there accepting that award?
He's such a likable guy, and he's a smart football coach.
I like him exactly
what we needed in this city.
I like him. When they would show him on the sidelines, I would ever say every game in my head, I'd say, I like him. I like Coach Nagy.
What are you doing for the Super Bowl?
I'm going to a party.
Okay.
Yeah. Right down the street from the house, we're going to go to a party. They got a jumpy thing for the kids, and then they have TVs for the parents.
They have a bouncy house?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Get the kids out of the house during the game.
No,
like
the bouncy house is in the house.
What?
Well, it's big enough. They have a bouncy house in one area.
Oh, wow.
And then they have just TVs and stuff in the other. It'll be fun.
Do you know what time the game starts?
5:30, 5:45.
Very good.
Thank you.
I think it's 5:38, but no one knows what time the game starts.
I think
it's around 4:30.
I heard 5:30, and then I heard 6, and then I got confirmation of 5:45. But you're saying 5:38.
Yes.
Yeah.
5:38.
Well, there's a lot of planning.
National anthem will be at, what, 5:15? Then you have the coin toss.
Yeah, I like to see the national anthem. Coin toss is not, I mean, that's okay. I don't have to see that.
Right.
I got to pick up Kurt, you see, and then we got to go to the
party.
Your
fiance, yes.
Who's traveling today, so I got to pick him up. That's why I know what time the game was, because it was like, what time will you
be? I don't understand.
Am I going to miss?
You're in the infatuation stage, the engagement mode right now, where you do everything for everybody.
When he flies, turn this corner right now,
when
Pete?
He flies in at O'Hare, you go and pick him up.
I'm going to pick him at the train.
My wife has never picked me up, even from the train.
It's so much better just to get a pickup.
When we started dating pre-9/11, back in 1998, I'd go on a trip and all I would say is, Sarah, just come to O'Hare and greet me at the gate like a movie where I walk off the tarmac. I walk off the plane and you're there to hug me. That's all I want.
She said, go, suck
never,
an egg.
Never. And now it's like, hey, pick me up at O'Hare. Maybe you can just leave the car, come to baggage claim and give me a hug. She's like, that will never happen.
No,
ever.
She's got to roll up on the departure level and you run out between DF, that gate, and then you just get in the car and go.
Worst.
I'm actually not going all the way to the airport. I'm just going to go pick him up at the train.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So you've worked halfway. That out. But you have gone to the airport.
All the time. I always request the airport pickup. But I, you know, he says no.
Scooter, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, Pete. Okay, how many people can tell you this? When the Bears won the Super Bowl, that was my golden birthday. You know what a golden birthday is?
Of course. You turn the same age as your birth date.
Yes, I was 26 on the 26th of January, and the Bears were in the Super Bowl, and the Bears won. It was a highlight of my life. I left my house at 12:30, went to my local establishment. I got home Tuesday. It was great.
I got home Tuesday.
Pete, it was awesome. Pete, I don't know if you remember, when you were on during the days, I called in for a contest you used to have. You used to have when Brendan would put your Christmas lights up. And anyway, I won the contest. I live in Lamont.
All right.
And Brendan was scheduled to come out to my house, but it snowed that morning, so we had to cancel. Then he invited me down to the studio, and I came down. And I brought Freddy's pizza, stuff from Freddy's to Cicero.
I do remember that.
That's great pie.
I spent a half hour with you on the radio. You're the greatest host. I never met you, but I listen to you every day. You know, that was one of my highlights of my life. So that was awesome. I have a picture of me and you and my nephew in my office framed.
Wow.
You know, it was great. I've been listening ever since, Pete.
Scooter, I love it.
But Brendan, he's legally blind or something, right?
Yes. That was his name. His name was Mender, who was legally blind. It wasn't Brendan. Mender.
Yeah. We had the contest. I won the contest, and we were scheduled to come out.
I can't believe you remember all of this. It's crazy. Scooter, you're the best, man. Have a great weekend.
Don't give Pete your cell phone number. He'll be texting you because somebody likes me.
I love that.
Here's the deal. What's really cool is that you're number two on his life list.
That's big. He's got a picture of me framed in his office.
Super Bowl Bears and then Pete McMurray.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to about to
cry. Do you remember the score of the Bears Super Bowl?
I do not.
46-10.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Do you remember the Bears defense
back in
85?
Yeah.
It was called the 4-6 defense, named after Doug Plank, who was number 46, and we scored 46 points.
And
that
they
was
all
a big
did
deal.
Planks.
Yeah.
Oh, they had 46, and it was a 4-6 defense, and Doug Plank was 4-6.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I love that.
That's a big deal.
They didn't even do that on purpose.
It really is.
So it's a great plan.
Oh, look at this. Hold on. We got to take this call before we go into a break. John, where are you?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Where are you?
I was at LaGrange Women's Hospital with my wife in the birthing room waiting for our daughter to be born. The doctor comes into the room and says, would you like to watch the game with us? And I said, no, thank you. I'd rather be with my wife.
Oh! How come no TV in the room?
Well,
she's having a baby.
It was the greatest day of my life.
Husband of the year.
I love it. Thank you, John.
Husband of the decade.
But, you know, those rooms now, they have TVs.
I know,
and they're like
back in 1986.
Yeah, you're right. They didn't have anything.
No.
Bare bones in LaGrange. Thank you, John.
They didn't have it on the phone either.
Mm-mm.
You could stream anything. No, nowadays, the guy's like, I was there when my wife was having a baby, but the phone is like underneath the bed.
Of course, yeah. You got to have that on. I like it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line. It's Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios on 720 WGN.
Excuse me. Where's everybody going?
To Gobbler's Knob. It's Groundhog Day.
720 WGN, Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. What kind of person would fly out to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania for Groundhog's Day?
Probably somebody you know, Pete.
I'm sure this is a segment about Groundhog Day, but it's really a segment about a bucket list, wouldn't you say?
I would say, since Groundhog's Day was yesterday, that I think it is a very much a bucket list segment.
My buddy Peoria Joe is a bucket list guy. He makes a list every single year and then tries to do everything on the list. This year, he took his son Jacob to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania for Groundhog Day, and he's there now. Our WGN correspondent live from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. It's Peoria Joe. Now, are you in Punxsutawney or are you in Pittsburgh now?
I'm in Pittsburgh now, and I got to tell you guys, you have got to do Gobbler's Knob in Groundhog Day next year. You gotta report live to it. It is the most amazing event that you will ever go to. Bigger than the Super Bowl.
No.
Well, there's no direct flight, so you have to fly into Pittsburgh, then get in a car and drive how far, Joe?
So, Punxsutawney is about 90 minutes northeast of Pittsburgh. It's not a bad drive at all.
And it's like an hour and a half.
It's about an hour and a half.
And so, I mean, you write a bucket list. How does this get on your list? Why is this something that you want to go do?
Great question.
I mean, I see it on the TV every year, and I just kind of pass by it and think, whatever, who cares?
It's like, what's the big deal?
Right.
So for me, I'm a huge weather guy. I mean, when we wake up in the morning, we turn on the Weather Channel. It's just become a rite of passion for our whole family.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I mean, we're just kind of strange that way. So about a year ago, I travel a lot, and I couldn't sleep. When I woke up, turned the TV on, and the Weather Channel was reporting live from Punxsutawney for this groundhog.
Oh.
And I said to myself, I got to go. I got to go see Phil. I got to go maybe meet some of the folks from the Weather Channel, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
And just to absolutely experience the whole thing. So that's kind of what started it a year ago.
Everybody has that guy in their life that just falls into things. This is Peoria Joe right here. So you flew out to Punxsutawney. You flew out to Pittsburgh on Friday and drove to Punxsutawney. What happened on Friday night?
So if you don't know the history, you know, like everyone thinks it's about this groundhog. You know, it's kind of silly. He's
right.
Reporting the weather.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's it. That's what we think.
And certainly that is the theme of the whole event. You know, no shadow, early spring, which is what he did yesterday. If there's a shadow, there's six more weeks of winter. But this whole thing, and this is what I learned, which I thought was fascinating, this whole thing started hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It was actually a Christian holiday called Candlemas. And back in the day, the folks would take their candles to church and have them blessed. And the whole thought was, if the candles are blessed, which is probably the only light they have in their house, hopefully it'll be a quick winter and they'll get to summer and you know, survive. So that's
okay.
How the whole thing, but it evolved. It
wow.
evolved over the years. It's actually the halfway point. This is the Weather Channel in me. It's the halfway point between the winter solstice and the summer solstice. So December 20th, 23rd is the winter, which is the shortest day of the year, a light day.
Okay.
And June 20th, 23rd, it varies every year, is the summer solstice, which is the longest. So February 2nd is the halfway point, and that's what that's really how it evolved, and it just has become a prediction of the weather for this one groundhog called Phil.
Yeah, how did they get the groundhog in there? How did they go from candles to groundhog?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history around it, but these folks in Punxsutawney picked it up 133 years ago. That's how long this has been going on.
So it was like somebody's pet groundhog that got loose, and then they just decided to switch the story 130 years ago. Oh, no, Phil got out.
No question about it. But, I mean, it has just evolved. And there's no question when you are talking to people. You know, so we arrived on Friday, and we went to the Inner Circle Banquet, which was at a local high school.
This is what he does. Yes, this is what he does. He buys the extras. Okay, so they have a Friday night dinner before the Saturday.
But I love the name is the Inner Circle Banquet.
All right, keep going.
Okay, yeah.
So we pull up, and it's zero out. It's so cold. I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, I look at Jacob, and I'm like, I have no idea what I've gotten ourselves into here. So we go into this high school, and it's just like a high school. We go into the cafeteria, and there's like 80 tables sitting out, and there's a number on it. We were table 37. We sat down, and they throw on this whole kind of pre-groundhog banquet.
It's the build-up.
And it's mostly like local community people, and the senators and local politicians were all there. But like at our table, there was a young couple there from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh.
who just were coming up there as a bucket list to do the whole ground.
I know, Jane, you have no time for it, but I would do that. I would go to Groundhog Day. I would do it.
I mean, I would do it if, say, someone said, this is what we're doing. I would go along and I would have a blast, but I wouldn't be the one that would be instigating it.
Well, here's the thing. Well, I didn't. Joe, you go through Friday night in Gobbler's Knob, and then people stay there. They don't go to bed, right? They stay up all night?
So the dinner was over at like 9 o'clock, and I had bought these VIP dueling pianos, which was downtown punk
photography. You got to buy the VIP for everything. Yeah. By the way, the VIP, $10 or $15. I mean, that's all you're throwing
correct.
Out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was dirt cheap. Jacob couldn't get into that because he's not 21, which is not a problem.
But we ended up
just going back to the hotel, and it was 10:30, 11 o'clock. The whole town doesn't go to bed. So literally the Gobbler's Knob Groundhog celebration starts at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we took a two-hour nap. We got back in the car, and we were at Gobbler's Knob at about 3:15. So when we arrived, there was about, maybe 2,000 people there. By 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's zero, by the way, it is so cold.
Oh, no.
There was over 40,000 people there.
40,000 people. All right, let me recap for people just tuning in. This is Peoria Joe. He was in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania yesterday for the groundhog. So it's 4 a.m. What time does the rat come out of the hole?
It's not a rat, and you can't say rodent. They frown on it.
Do they?
It's a rodent.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it is. But so from 3 o'clock to sunrise, which is about 7:20, they literally build up this whole experience. And there is music playing. There's a huge bonfire. There's a talent show. There is a unbelievable fireworks. I mean, we were sitting there, and they dimmed all the lights. I'm like, what the heck's going on,
and
Jacob?
0 degrees.
And all of a sudden,
zero degrees,
fireworks. I mean, like, grand fireworks for like a half hour. It was like the 4th of July.
Well, this is their big thing.
This is it. That's all they're known for.
This is their 4th of July.
I mean, this is definitely their 4th of July. And it builds up to about 7 o'clock. And then it kind of reminded me of when they used to introduce the Bulls back in the day when Jordan was playing. All of a sudden, they play this music. And the crowd parts, and the inner circle members with their black tuxedos and top hats come walking down the middle.
Sure.
And they come up on stage, and they say a few words. They introduce the inner circle, which is guys, just a bunch of guys getting together, and they plan this out.
It's
and
an
they
have excuse
fun
to
and
have
volunteer.
A party. Okay.
Yeah. And then they reach in, and they call up the handler. And this year was JT. He was the handler.
Did you get to meet him?
Inner Circle Banquet.
Of course you did, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
You got his
card.
It's going to be tasty.
And they reach in and grab Phil, and they put him up on the stump. And then Bill Dilley, who is the president, and everyone would yell, Dilley, Dilley. The president, like, leans over.
See how excited he is.
And he leans over and he's like talking to Phil and he whispers back and forth. And we were close enough. We could hear him talking back and forth. And he gets up and he's like, I got a prediction. And there's two scrolls there. One's obviously for No Shadow, one
right.
for Shadow.
Yep.
And he picks up the scroll, opens the scroll up, reads the proclamation. And this year, it was the early spring.
Early spring.
No
Shadow.
Is it always the same? Is it the same Phil, or is it a different Phil that is the character?
Well, I asked that. I asked that question because if you go online and you ask everybody, oh no, it's the same Phil. I'm like, well, the darn groundhog hasn't been alive for 133 years. How many Phils have there been?
I'm checking the list now. It looks like in 2015 he had a cold, so they had a stand-in. Yes.
The understudy?
Yes.
When you were there between 3 a.m. and 7:20 a.m. and they were entertaining the crowds, curious, because people will get hungry as you're cold and you're thirsty, did they have food trucks up there serving groundhog tacos?
Well, they had the Hogspitality VIP.
Ah.
I did say Hogspitality.
Yes, yeah.
VIP tent. And I actually ponied up to $10 for that for Jacob and I.
Okay.
And there was nobody in it except the inner circle and Jacob and I. And they had heat lamps and free food. And I'm like, what is going on? I mean, it really is a very surreal because you're literally out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, yeah,
and
you'd think of the movie with Bill Murray. I mean, you think of that
nothing
scene.
Like it.
Nothing at all.
Why don't you just go to Woodstock, Illinois?
Like
you could do Woodstock
it's
next
nothing
year.
Nothing like it at all. Yeah, it's so different. But anyway, you know, one thing was clear throughout the whole thing. It's like, certainly it's about Phil. But what was just the most amazing thing is like, everybody was so happy. Everybody's getting along. It's not like a party crowd. There's no alcohol. They don't sell alcohol.
Wait, what do you mean?
I went into the gymnasium.
There's no booze?
High school on Friday after driving and flying, and I'm looking for the bar. There's no bar. There's no alcohol sold at Groundhog's. At Gobbler's Knob. Now, certainly there's bars downtown.
Sounds like they should be selling Gobbler's Knob. It's like a little shot
anyway,
at Gobbler's Knob.
The whole thing just, like, brings people together. There's people from Australia and Europe and every state. And
wow.
That's what it's all about. It's just coming together and having a good time.
So he didn't?
And getting along.
He didn't see a shadow, right?
He did not see a shadow.
He did not see a shadow, so there's going to be an early spring. So Phil... So after that, they grab Phil and they cook him up and you guys eat him. Is that how it works?
No. Correct. Yes.
He's pardoned by the
Who needs
dilly.
A Phil burger? Anybody?
No, the inner circle pardons him and then he gets to run free.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, basically, this is a bucket list thing. So we all need to just kind of reflect on ourselves. Mm. That's why I wanted to do this. And you've known Peoria Joe forever. It's crazy. Nobody goes out to Gobbler's Knob.
I'm actually really surprised, but not surprised that you would actually do this. So it's interesting, right? That this is something, but it all started because you watched the Weather Channel, and that's what inspired you to go do this.
By the way, we're going to send this whole segment. Uh-oh, you're all right? You okay?
I'm here.
All right. I don't know what it sounded like. Something just fell. Are you okay?
There's the guy cleaning the garbage out right next to me.
Oh, wow. I thought he fell down a hill or something.
He's still a Gobbler's Knob falling down the knob.
That is so funny. We're taking this segment. We're going to send it off to Jim Cantore at the Weather Channel for you.
Nice. Gotta like that.
Did you get to meet anyone from the Weather Channel?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did. So the night the bank with the Inner Circle, Jen Carfagna was actually inducted into the Weather Hall of Fame there.
I'm telling you, they called out
her name, and I looked at Jacob, and I'm like, this is our one moment. We're going to go over and talk with her and get a picture. And she was as nice as can be. Absolutely. We talked for, and supposedly she gave a shout out to us when she was broadcasting yesterday.
Really?
I didn't confirm that, but yeah.
This is our one moment. You know how many times I've heard that in my lifetime? This is our one moment.
This is it.
Peoria Joe, nice work, buddy. Travel safe. Tell your son, Jacob, hello. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
That's awesome.
That's so fun. Good for him. What a great dad.
It's 720 WGN. Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We have a correspondent live on the ground in Atlanta who's been experiencing all that there has been to offer this week at the Super Bowl, and this guy's your buddy.
He is my buddy, and he is my dentist.
What do you mean?
Well, he's a dentist, and you might know him.
Uh-huh.
From, he's a national celebrity, if you will, and he's probably the most important person that we could find on the ground in Atlanta.
Really?
But you might recognize him from the national commercial for whitening your teeth for Sensodyne.
You're kidding.
I swear, he's that guy on the commercial.
Patients get what they're asking for. They want whiter teeth. They're going to get it with this.
Really?
That's the guy, Dr. Andrew Silamiotis. Hi, Andrew.
Of course he's Greek. Doc, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Jane, can you believe it? Nobody anywhere around Atlanta asked for my autograph all week. It's been crazy.
I mean, you are the most high-profile person walking around. Forget Tom Brady. You've got Dr. Silamiotis.
That's right.
I love this. So this is our celebrity that's on the ground in Atlanta.
Correct.
It is a Greek dentist from Atlanta that's in the Sensodyne commercial.
But not
taking away anything from you, Doc. I just wanted to get the facts out there.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do.
I'm sure that you're willing to check the teeth of the Patriots team and the Rams if they asked you to, correct?
Well, I mean, that was part of the reason I volunteered this year. I spent lots of time wandering through the venues, and to tell you, there were so many more Patriots fans than were Rams fans. And I think it's maybe because there's a lot of confusion on who the Rams fans are, since I don't know if they're from St. Louis, Los Angeles, or where they're coming and going these days.
Yeah, the St. Louis fans are bitter.
Yeah.
And the L.A. fans, they're just fair weather.
But, Andrew, I know you're originally from Cleveland. Didn't the Rams come from Cleveland before they were in St. Louis?
No, that is incorrect as far as I can tell. The Browns, or the Cleveland Browns, they left Cleveland at one point, but they kept the name. So I'm always a Browns fan, even though I'm from Atlanta. I still strive to follow the Falcons, but I've always been a Browns fan.
But bigger than that, you are a huge football fan, and you have been to many Super Bowls, not just this one. So name off the Super Bowls you've been to, and then I want to find out what you've been doing on the ground in Atlanta.
So that's true. I have been to Miami when the Colts played the Bears. Unfortunately for you guys, the Bears lost that one.
Pouring rain. Sideways rain. That was a rough one.
That was when Prince had an unbelievable halftime show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some say the best halftime show ever.
I've been to Detroit when the Steelers played the Seahawks. I've been to the Jacksonville game where the Patriots played the Eagles. And then in Houston where the Patriots played the Panthers. And in Atlanta in 2000, I actually volunteered here. So I guess you could say I'm kind of like a Super Bowl gigolo.
I don't understand the volunteering thing. Do they ask for volunteers when they come to town?
So they do. So there's a part of Atlanta that set this up. So I was basically like an ambassador or host volunteer, and they stationed us in different parts of the town. There's a little area here called Centennial Park. They built that up when the Olympics were here in 96,
sure.
But it's been used for a lot of venues. And this year, Jermaine Dupri was producing a full on all week live concerts, and it was free to the public. So all his fans, local people, out-of-town people came. They had music that were pretty much regional stuff going on. They had different booths from different corporations there kind of showing off their stuff. And it's a great view of the city. I mean, the city was alive all week long with music, with lights and action. I mean, some of the hotels and high-rises had plastered banners from all these different companies and Super Bowl kind of drawn on them. So it was kind of neat. There's a Ferris wheel downtown there, too, and each of the little... buckets was plastered each of the football teams. So when you look up, you see all the different football teams from the NFL kind of going around in a circle.
Boy, they do it all. The NFL does everything right, it seems like. Man.
Yeah.
And everything is sort of right there downtown. So it's easy to just be walking to all these different events and stuff.
Oh, for sure. The new stadium, which is, I'm looking forward to seeing how that looks. They're going to put on a good show there with the Mercedes-Benz Stadium there. But all around there, they have the Super Bowl experience, which was right next door at the World Congress Center. So all the kids and adults that want to be kids can go out and run, pass, throw, do all these different things. And they had the Lombardi Trophy there. All the Super Bowl rings from all the different years were there on display. So, but they had some high security there, too. So no one was walking out with any of that stuff.
What kind of celebrities have you seen in Atlanta since you were an ambassador for the city?
So I've seen a few people that just kind of from afar. Deion Sanders has been in town. You can't miss those suits, man.
He's all over TV this week, everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been. I think everywhere I went where I saw a live shot going on, it was like Deion was somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
What about Giselle?
I didn't see Giselle. I saw Kraft from afar. He was
Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots. Okay.
Of the Patriots. So, Atlanta is kind of bitter right now from 2 years ago. So a lot of Atlanta people aren't fans of the Patriots. Too many of those.
Remember the comeback?
Three shirts.
Yeah. Remember the comeback?
Wow,
yeah.
I forgot about that. So you're saying that the whole entire city is full of visitors and everyone that lives in Atlanta or outside the perimeter are staying home and they don't want to have anything to do with it except for you.
I hear a lot of that. So some people in the suburbs are staying home. But there are quite a few locals kind of hanging out, too, and trying to enjoy the festivities.
We're talking with Dr. Andrew, one of Jane's friends who is on the ground in Atlanta. You've experienced this all week. You're going to the game today, right?
I am not. I'm going to, sit in front of gate F and see if anybody notices me and maybe lets me in. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'm the guy from the Sensodyne commercial. Let's go. Anybody got an extra?
Stand out there with a tube of toothpaste, maybe.
Well, I'd try that.
Or you could be cleaning teeth in the tailgate area.
So are you looking to scalp today?
No, I'm not. I'm not okay. One to pay any money. There's a all guy right. here in somewhere in Atlanta that got caught. I guess he sold almost $1 million worth of tickets that and took off and never had the tickets. I think his mom was involved. Like, he sold $30,000 to his mom, and then he skipped town. So he's I'm not buying any tickets from scalpers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe we can get you in the media tent.
I'll go for that, sure.
Can you eat popcorn if you're a dentist? I think there's going to be popcorn in the media tent.
Of course you can do that.
I can eat popcorn, and I encourage others to eat popcorn, especially ones without kernels being popped.
Who has better teeth, Tom Brady or Jason Goff?
You know, I have not examined either one of them. I've offered, again, my services during the whole week, but no one wanted to come into the office and get an exam.
From afar, they both look like they have pretty healthy teeth. You know, my brother's a dentist, so I'm kind of, you know, associated with it somehow.
Well, good. Then you probably floss your teeth every day, too, right?
Well,
I love to floss. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. By the way, Dr. Andrew, you and Pete kind of look alike. You could be brothers.
I feel like I need to be on a national commercial like that and get some coin for it.
Well, you know, maybe I could work something out for you for that.
I appreciate
stand
that.
In.
So you're just going to stand outside the gate and try to get in today. When do you leave? When do you bail? Do you hear the national anthem and then you go to someone's house or you go to a bar? How long do you stay there?
You know, I'm going to probably just see if what the action is like. I mean, the weather here is unbelievable. It's supposed to get up to 61. Oh. So I'm probably going to hang out there. You know, if there's any parties going on there, if someone wants me to join them, sure. You know, if I don't get into the stadium, I'll be willing to come out to the parties.
Maybe you could sneak in and be a dancer on the field during halftime. Well, wear your volunteer
badge. When you said you were a volunteer, they have those volunteers, those people that they bring on at halftime, you know, for the concert, for Maroon 5. How do you get in there?
So, remember, I'm a dentist. I'm not a dancer.
You have to go to dance practice.
Yeah, but they have those kids that they rush in, you know, a crowd of people on the field. Maybe you could do that.
Sure. I can show them how to floss, right?
Right.
Yeah, the floss is the dance.
The floss dance.
That's perfect.
Dr. Andrew, on the ground in Atlanta. Man, I hope you get in today. I really do.
Who are you rooting for?
You know, it's hard to tell who I'm rooting for. I've got family in the New England area. And, you know, I'm still a Browns fan. I can't root for anybody except for the Falcons or Browns. But as long as it's a good game. And
yes, I think we're all rooting for a good game today. That's what we want to see is a good game. Well, thank you.
Of course.
Thank you, Doc. We hope you get in. And thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Andrew.
Sure. I wish everyone a great Super Bowl celebration tonight. And don't forget to floss.
All right. Take care. It's 720 WGN.
AP Coach of the Year is Matt Nagy, Chicago Bears.
Matt Nagy, Coach of the Year. Love it. His first year. Rookie head coach is now Coach of the Year. Fantastic.
That is so exciting. And he's a great, likable guy, and he deserves it.
Very likable. And his wife is smoking hot. I've never seen her before.
The wife is hot.
She looked great last night.
I love that show last night, by the way. It mixes celebrities, and it mixes all the football, and there's awards, and then people were saying such inspiring things. Nagy, what he said, and I think you have a clip of this,
mm-hmm.
but talking about Virginia McCaskey.
I don't have that clip, but I have the we. Here it is.
Okay. Really, this represents all of us. You know, we always talk about it. Being a me award, this is a we award. This is about all of us together, our team, our organization, our coaches, our support staff, the entire organization.
It's all about the we. He never says I.
This is not a me trophy. This is a we trophy,
yeah.
Which is exactly what he said. And the other thing that I loved is he said, I want to thank Virginia because when we win and I get on the plane from an away game and I see her little smile on her face, the smirk and the happiness and joy that we've just brought her, he's like, it makes my day. And he thanked her for being so supportive.
Right. He's awesome.
I loved it.
By the way,
it was so well done.
There's rumors circulating now that, excuse me, next season, the Thursday night game to kick off the 100th anniversary of the NFL season is going to be the Packers at the Bears to open the season, Thursday night football.
Oh, no. I still don't want to hear that.
What?
Packers at the Bears Thursday night football opens the season.
Opens the season, the 2019 season.
That's
fantastic.
It's fantastic. But did you hear Aaron Rodgers last night?
I did not. I had the sound down.
He said, and I don't know if this was last night. I just caught a glimpse of it. Maybe someone was running it on the news. But he was up on stage and said, "But blah, 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 whatever he's talking about." And then he ends it and he says, "But nothing beats beating the Chicago Bears."
Well, he's got to say that.
He said it on the stage.
He does. Of course he did. And he's beat us like crazy in the last few years, but
sure
not this
has.
Year.
But he just took that little needle and he dug it in a little bit harder.
All right. Before we take a break, you looked up what we were just talking about.
So we were talking to Dr. Andrew about being at the Super Bowl. And he's a Cleveland Browns fan, but he lives in Atlanta and he's been on the ground for us kind of reporting on the Super Bowl. I said to him, where did the Rams start? Didn't they start in Cleveland? And you and him, okay, here's a girl in the room saying, didn't the Rams start in Cleveland? Like, I know something.
I didn't say anything. I don't know any NFL history.
You both were like, no.
I mean, I don't know that far back about the scene.
So here's why I said that.
L.A.
Because I thought I was being smart because I was watching the show last night and Steve Harvey actually said it. And so I thought I was being smart and clever. And then you guys said no. And then I was like, oh, Steve Harvey duped me. But then I looked it up. And by the way, the Cleveland Rams did start there, 1936 to 1945, then L.A. for 49 years, then St. Louis in 1994. Now they're back in L.A.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Woo!
Why does Steve Harvey host everything?
Well, because he's a likable guy.
I mean, come on. Enough's enough.
Was that in L.A. or was that in Atlanta last night?
I have no idea.
I really wanted to know where it was.
We had people over. I had the sound down.
I
then I turned
in.
It up for Nagy. And then
I got sucked in. I watched every player. I'm crying my face off. It was great.
The guy from Seattle. That's
Griffin.
Missing half his
Griffin.
Arm.
Shaquem Griffin.
What an inspiration he is.
His speech,
he's
I mean,
so good.
I said out loud to the TV screen, I like you.
Yeah, he's a very likable guy.
He said there is nothing in this world that you can't do every single day that you want to
do it. He's missing half an arm and he plays for the Seattle Seahawks.
And he's like the fastest sprint or some sort of dash in the NFL.
Wow.
He did it.
It's good stuff.
It was great.
It's Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 720 WGN.
Lots to get to. Let's bring in Pete McMurray from WGN Radio. And the reason we're all wearing red today, Star Jones.
Hey!
Hey, Pete.
Hi,
guys.
Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. I was on Windy City Live on Friday. Did you tune in?
You did a great job.
Thank you. I wanted to bring on one of the hosts to say thanks and reveal something about him that I learned on Friday. It's Ryan Cheverini. How are you, man?
Hi, Ryan.
What's going on, Pete and Jane? How are you? You found out some fun facts or something? Or some dirt? Do I have to pay you off now?
I did. We'll get to that in a second. But first of all, thank you for inviting me on the show. And we wore red on Friday. And I had so many people ask me about the red coat that I was wearing that I got from Black Tie Formal Wear on Clybourne, by the way. It was off the charts. Fantastic.
Well, everyone looked really great. In the red.
But
yeah, you know, it looked like we were doing a Valentine's Day show.
But, it did.
Pete should have been like on a wedding cake. You
I
just looked so good in that jacket.
I really killed it.
Did you get
it.
To keep it at least?
No, I returned it. But it was for the red was for the American Heart Association, right, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big, you know, it's a great cause. I mean, it's just really, really a passion of Star Jones as well. So, you know, when she came on, she really wanted us to, it's something we do every year, but obviously it's one of those things, just a good reminder for people to, you know, get checked and make sure that you're, you know, doing all the right things and taking care of yourself.
I feel like I get too dressed up for the show. Like Richard Roper looked like he just rolled out of bed. I'm like, Rich, did you even shower today? What's going on?
I don't know. With that zombie apocalypse thing we had going in the ghost town, it was like, didn't matter what you were wearing last week. You just had to get into a shelter.
You're right. And by the way, there was no audience all week long. People weren't coming out for the show, right?
And we had those diehards. We had like 10 or 15 people that show up every single day. And it doesn't matter. We basically said, don't come to the show. Like, stay inside.
Well, I commend you guys for, you didn't take a day off. You were there. You were doing the show. You were in a great mood. Because the rest of us that stayed in, I'm like, oh, Windy City Live's on. I'm going to watch them right now.
Well, and I think that's the whole idea. Like, that's what the producers think, too. They said, even if everyone's off work, that's, you know, you guys are working because then they're going to be watching you.
By the way, I want to mention, you have such a great crew behind the scenes. Matt Knutson, who Jane and I have known forever, is always working his butt off behind the scenes. But the floor guy is always so friendly. Laura takes care of my makeup. I'm like, Laura, you got to make this nose look small on TV. And she spent, I'm not kidding, she spent like 25 minutes on my nose.
Yeah, she shaded it up, huh?
I'm like, I'm good.
Did she do it?
That's
yes.
Hilarious. She shaded And the funny thing is, you still do makeup when you go do your radio show, which is amazing.
I do. Yes.
And Ryan, you should see him right now. That his nose looks just like, it's like a little tiny thing.
Oh, stop it.
It looks amazing. Yeah. We have a great crew. We met 8 years. I can't believe we're going to hit 8 years in May.
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
It's 8 years already?
No, it's impressive.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
oh,
yes. Crazy.
But Friday, I did learn something about you. We were talking about pets sleeping in your bed. And for anyone for anyone listening right now who has a dog, 99% of us let our dog sleep with us. And I found something out about Ryan that it's a deal breaker for you, isn't it?
You know, I think if it's just you and your dog in bed, fine. But I think, like, the eventual, you know, like, my dad dated this woman who had to have two dogs on the bed at all times, and like, he would drive him crazy. And I was like, yeah, I guess that would make sense. Like, when it's time to get intimate, then what, you know?
You just kick the dog off.
You don't need an audience.
Hey, Ryan, do you have a dog, or is this a deal breaker if there's a girl that you're dating has the dog?
No, I don't have a dog. I actually want a dog, but, you know, having a dog downtown is so difficult. Like, that's really a commitment. That's like having children.
Yeah, but would you...
I don't know if you could trust me with that.
If you had a dog, and if you had a dog, would you let the dog sleep with you when you were just sleeping solo?
Maybe.
Once you open that door...
If I have my girlfriend or whatever in the bed, then it's just us, you know? Like, sorry, like... Spot, you gotta take the seat.
Hey, listen.
Spot.
I gotta, you know what? So I moved in with my fiance, and when I moved in, I had a cat, and he said, you can't bring, the cat's not coming. And I'm like, the cat's 15, the cat's coming. So the cat moves in, but he's like, the cat cannot go in the room. So the cat learned, we trained a 15-year-old cat that at nighttime, it's time for sleepy, and you go downstairs, and then the cat can't be in the room. Because he's the same, same with you. There's like, no, you're not having an animal in the bed.
That was compromise. Nice.
I like that.
I mean, listen, I'm a big animal lover. I love animals, but it just, I mean, come on, at some point.
Well, I thought it was interesting, Ryan, that Val Warner, your co-host on Windy City Live, said that when she gets busy, she leaves the dog in the bed.
Yes.
She said this on Friday.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's just weird. Can we agree?
I agree. It is weird.
Yes, it's very odd.
I would imagine
that. If you want to have your movie night and you're all snuggled up and you and your spouse and your pup, fine.
Uh-huh.
But,
fine.
Like, when it's time for that, you know, come on.
So I would imagine that the dog would just be like, oh, I'm so out of here. And they would just leave on their own.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak on that. You guys have dogs, don't you?
I don't have a dog.
I have a dog, and Wrigley, see ya, bud. Gotta go.
But does Wrigley sleep in the bed at night?
He does, yeah. And he sleeps, and I'm not kidding. I don't know what happened in the last 6 months. He's moved over. He sleeps on my leg. So I wake up. If I have to go to the bathroom, it's like I fall down because I have no circulation in one of the legs.
He doesn't sleep in your son's room?
No, he doesn't. Jeez.
So, but when it's time for the intimate part, like,
he's
outside, like, looking at his
watch. Bud, you gotta go.
All right,
you gotta get out.
It's like
college. You gotta go. I have a hanger on the door. I'll put a dog biscuit down here when you're done.
Like, right, he's looking at his paws. Come on, how much time is this gonna take?
And Ryan, by the way, I want to mention a bucket list thing of mine that I've always wanted to do is go to the Phoenix Open, which is happening this weekend, and you are there, right?
Yeah, you know, this is the first time I've ever been to this Open. You know, when I did sports, I covered a lot of tournaments and things, but I never went to this one. Everybody said it is one of those events that you got to go to at least once. It's just a huge party is all it is. It's pretty much like Mardi Gras on the golf course. Like, golf is really the secondary thing happening.
It is,
there.
Yeah.
You should see the outfits some of these people are wearing. I mean, or lack thereof, I guess I should say. But you're going to a golf tournament, and there's young ladies in like stilettos and like nightclub attire.
I mean, you're in Scottsdale, like, Ryan. Come on.
It's crazy.
I know, but people dress up for this. I mean, one of the halls, it has, what, 30,000 people around it? Is that the final hall? Is that 18?
Yeah, 18, yeah. And 16 is a big, big stadium-style hall, too. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's like 200,000 people there. There's lines.
It's
just
nuts.
Line.
And so I've been many times because I have family that lives in Phoenix, and going to that party during the day, you know, if you get the VIP treatment, you can have a cabana, you can have a chair, you get a waitress with free booze and food, and they change it. Here's your breakfast food. Here's your lunch food. Here's dinner.
I love it.
And then there's the nighttime parties. Ryan, have you been? Is it called the Bird's Nest? Have you been to that?
Yeah, the Bird's Nest. You know, Snoop Dogg performed there like two nights ago,
yeah.
But we didn't go. But yeah, they've had a lot of different artists that play. But yeah, it's a good time. You got to get down here. But we made the mistake of not getting that spoiled treatment, Jane. So we
had
the GA with the commoners.
Come on, man.
Oh, Ryan,
Ryan. It was rough. Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, I'm not a big golf fan, to be honest. And so I don't know. I was like, whatever. I went and checked it out. Couple hours, had a good time, and then I got out of there, and I was
fine. When you're being spoiled, you might become a golf fan.
Mm-hmm.
Next time,
yeah,
you gotta let me know. I've got a brother out there. He knows everyone.
You got a guy?
I got a guy.
You got
George.
A guy for Chiarini?
Yeah,
your brother can get him in there.
I know.
I want to go
you
next year.
You should have told me on Friday, Pete. I blame you. Ryan, I blame Pete.
It's actually raining here today.
I
so
heard.
It's going on, but it's raining, and so it's not real enjoyable. Right,
and they just had 2 weeks of the most perfect, beautiful weather, and then I just found out that it's like overcast and chilly and raining. Sorry.
Yeah, I brought it from Chicago.
Nice job, Chiarini. Yeah. Ryan Chiarini from Windy City
have
Live.
Fun.
It was great to see you last week, and have a great vacation.
Yeah, come back and see us on Windy City too, and Jane will have to see you as well. But we're getting ready for the Super Bowl here. Who do you guys think in this game?
I said it on the show on Friday. Tom Brady does not lose two in a row.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He doesn't lose, but I'm going to root for the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Patriots are sort of like the Yankees. It's hard to root for
them,
you know. They're just so good. And, like, Tom Brady has got this perfect life. It's, like, easy to be jealous of, I guess. But,
he does.
But you know what? If he wins tonight and he gets his sixth Super Bowl,
does he retire?
It's pretty hard to argue that he's not the best.
He's not going to retire. He is the best. I mean, come on. He's at the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting to watch.
I love that the head coach of the Rams, Sean McVay, is like 8 years younger than Tom Brady.
I know he is. Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, where are you watching the game?
Unbelievable. We're going to go to a buddy's house, a college buddy.
Cool.
I played college football at Colorado, and one of my teammates lives out here, so we're going to go to his house.
Fantastic.
God, that sounds great.
It does sound fun.
Wow.
Good for you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
Have
fun.
Get
on a plane. Jane, you know people in high places. Get on a plane.
I'll be there in 3 hours.
You got people. Right. Ryan Chiarini. Thanks, man.
All right, guys.
All right, take care.
Bye, Ryan.
You can check him out, Windy City Live, weekdays at 1 o'clock on ABC7. All right, it's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Just talked to Ryan Chiarini from Windy City Live. Ryan's funny.
He's great. He's having a great time out west. I didn't know that.
When I get there before the show, it's always so rushed, so I don't really get a chance to talk to him. I mean, we chit-chat a little bit. Val gives me a hug, and then we go on set.
Everyone's really focused. They got a show to do.
I mean, I'm not really focused.
No,
I just follow the leader, and I just show up. Yes, that's their real job. I'm the goofy guy that shows up.
Right.
But it's nice to have a conversation with him because I never get to talk to him.
I know. And then the other thing is, too, when you're a guest, then you get kicked out so fast because they have the rest of the show to do.
Right.
So you want to hang and chat. And they're like, we're in a commercial break, buddy. Get out.
Right. I was on two segments on Friday, which was nice.
Yeah, with you and Ryan and Val and Star.
And I'm not kidding. When I got off set, they went into a commercial and then they did some recorded segment. And I'm sitting there talking to Rich Roper for about 20 minutes. He's like, hey, I got to end this conversation. I got to go on TV. My gosh, I forgot all about it.
He was talking to you. I'm really impressed that you rented the jacket, the red jacket to wear on the air.
I love the jacket. It was fantastic.
But did you have put some forethought into that? Because you do really love your clothes.
I called up my guys over at Black Tie Formal Wear on Clybourne.
They said you need to wear red. And
I go, I need a great-looking red tuxedo jacket.
Uh-huh.
And it had a design.
I saw it.
Black lapel.
I loved it.
There's a picture on my Facebook page.
Very impressed.
They're good people over there.
Yeah.
Yes.
You didn't get any Wrigley hair on it, did you?
Maybe a little. Brian, what's up, bud?
Hey, Brian.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
No, I just want to say about the cat and dog thing. My dog was 89 pounds. My cat was 18 pounds. And the dog never went upstairs to our bedroom.
Okay.
But the cat would sit in the dog's cage when we said bedtime, and you got an 18-pound cat making an 89-pound dog cry.
Because the dog wanted to go in his cage.
That's kind of cute.
Right. No, okay. I agree 100%. And me and my wife would just be like, Bubba, get upstairs.
Bubba, get upstairs.
But the dog didn't want to go upstairs.
Mm-mm.
No, Bubba did, but he just liked teasing the dog.
Oh, the cat. Oh,
Bubba is the cat.
Okay.
What, yeah.
What's the
Maggie
dog's name?
Maggie was the dog.
Who?
Maggie was my dog, and she was a purebred shepherd. We got Bubba. We found him in a parking lot, a little pink thing on a light post, and we raised him from eye drops.
Wow.
It seems like they should be flip-flop. Bubba should be the dog, Maggie should be the cat, but Maggie's the dog and Bubba's the cat.
Well,
I like
Maggie
it.
Was female, Bubba was male.
So your dog, we were talking about this earlier, about Ryan said it's a deal breaker having the dog sleep in the bed. So your dog doesn't sleep in your bed.
My dog doesn't even go up the stairs.
But here's the question. That Brian, they are allowed to go upstairs and sleep in the bed if they wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
Bubba
that's
always slept on my pillow.
Yeah.
Slept on your
Maggie
pillow.
Maggie would not go because Bubba was there.
So
the cat and the dog, that was the problem. They were just at each other.
Wow.
Oh, they were worse than having our kids.
That's rough stuff.
They had a galley kitchen. They chased each other. Do I have to put you in a corner?
Just
and
back.
Stop and just stare at you.
Just back and forth. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks,
have a great
Brian.
Day. I dated a girl for about 7 days that had a cat, and the cat used to sleep on the pillow. I'm like, yep,
you're
see you later.
You're so allergic
to
cats.
Oh, it's the worst.
You keep been telling
it's
me
the worst.
For the last 15 years, I'm allergic to cats. Allergic to cats.
Oh, no, you're not. Yes, I am.
I don't think so. You can
when I am around cats, my eyes start to water, and I itch.
I actually seen your eyes water when you're around cats.
It's terrible. And when you wear clothes and you come from your house and sometimes you have cat hair, that activates it.
No.
Absolutely, it does.
Is that why I've seen your eyes teared up? Because you've never been to my house.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, this is
it's
fine.
It's good. We can meet out somewhere.
You have a dog. I have a cat. We see each other at the radio station.
This is
We're
perfect.
Good.
This is the perfect relationship.
It really is.
Everyone listening right now, I need your help. I am in the latest competition, Dancing with Chicago Celebrities, the 2019 version. Okay.
And you're practicing a lot.
I'm practicing. I started a week and a half ago. Not even a week and a half ago.
Do you got the dance down?
I do.
Do you?
Well, almost.
How many days a week are you practicing? I feel like you're always
twice a week, but I practice at home because I'm winning this thing.
You practice with your wife?
The reason that I'm playing the James Bond theme and is because I'm dressing as James Bond and we're doing the... oh, God, I forgot my dance. Hold on.
The foxtrot.
No, not the foxtrot.
The samba.
Oh, my God.
Rumba.
No, keep going.
The
Scent of a Woman.
The Floss.
No, Scent of a Woman. You remember?
The Tango.
Tango. God bless it. How do I forget the Tango? My brain's not working. I walked into Arthur Murray, okay?
Yeah.
And they said, okay, two questions. Number one, what celebrity are you modeled after? I said, I want to be modeled after Danny Kaye.
Okay, yeah.
Because Danny Kaye could sing, dance, and he was funny.
Yeah,
he was a triple
was
threat. He was
Love
fantastic.
That's a good call, Pete.
She's like, I've never heard that before. I go, good.
Yeah.
And then she said, what dance do you want to do? And I said, I want to dance like Al Pacino, the tango in Scent of a Woman.
Why don't you just want to dance like Danny Kaye?
Because you have to have a dance. And she goes, this is what I see right away. They put it together. It was Danny and Amy over at Arthur Murray.
I know them.
Do you?
Yeah, we've done a lot of stories about how great dancing is for your health on Living Healthy Chicago, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
They're
absolutely.
Unbelievable
They're
people.
They're wonderful. I
Danny
know.
Is such a great dancer.
Every time we go there, I'm like, I really should take some dance lessons.
So they said, you're going to be James Bond, and we're going to walk out, we're going to do the tango, and we're going to play this music and dance to it. I go, that right there, we won. We won. We won.
So are you making a specific... suit for this, or is it like a dance costume, or do you go to your guys that you got the red jacket?
I go to black tie formal wear on Clybourne and get the white tuxedo jacket with the black tie.
What would be really exciting is if you put Velcro down the sides of your pants and then you just ripped them off and then you went into another dance.
What the heck? You know how hard it is to learn a dance? We only dance for 90 seconds.
How many 8 counts is that?
It's a lot. It is. Oh, my gosh. I'm just counting, and we spell out tango in my head. It's nuts. But besides dancing, this all comes to a head on... That is it. That is it. I've done that so many times.
Tito was his name.
This comes to a head on Friday, March 8th at the Hyatt on Wacker. Okay? Friday, March 8th.
Oh, yeah. Right here.
So I have... Seven or eight weeks to learn the dance.
Perfect it.
But the reason that they do this every year, and I think this is the 14th or 15th year, they raise money. Jill, the owner of Arthur Murray Studios here in Chicago, is raising money to fight breast cancer. They do this every year. They've raised over $2.5 million.
And how fun. It's a fun event and a great cause.
And when they asked me to dance, I said, absolutely. My sister is a breast cancer survivor. Think about it. 1 in 8 women are diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
We need to find a cure. We're so close.
So close.
So all this money that we raise, and when you go to my Facebook page, everyone listening right now, all I want is $2 because my goal is 10 grand. If I get $2 from 5,000 people in Chicago.
Easy.
Simple. In six or eight weeks, I can do that.
So if we go to your, there's a link there, right? And that'll take us to the
Click on the link right on the front page.
Easy.
Go to Pete McMurray on Facebook, or you can type in tinyurl.com/teampete.
Oh, good.
But just go to my Facebook
page. I'm going to give you
$250 or $2.50? $2. That's all I want. I want $2 from 5,000 people, and we're there.
Yeah.
Done. Again, so thanks to all the people at Arthur Murray.
And everyone can go to the event, too, right?
You can go to the event. Everything is tax deductible. Everything. It's 501c3.
All the information is
there. So even the $2 that you're going to donate today is tax deductible. It'll come off in your taxes. So let's do it.
Let's do it, Pete.
Pete McMurray on Facebook. I want to raise the most money.
You don't have two left feet is what you're finding out.
John Williams danced last year.
He actually showed us in the hallway recently. He got up. He was sitting. We were talking. Yeah. He's like, well, let me show you. And he got up and he had a whole thing he was showing us.
Yeah, he's
good was
dancer.
Good.
He's a good dancer. But I want to raise one more dollar than John Williams. He raised $10,000. I want to raise $10,001.
Then you better hit up Lou Manfredini.
I'm going to hit Lou, too. Lou was a dancer, too. So I'm going to go on Lou. I'm going to go on John's show, I think, next Thursday. Yeah. And I'm going to go on Lou's show. I haven't decided if I'm going to drive out to St. Charles because he's live in Pheasant Run on Saturday morning or the following week.
Okay, well, let's see. We got to spread it out. Let's look at the calendar. We'll figure it out.
I'm on Cochrane on Tuesday. I'm getting this done. I'm raising money.
Good for you, Pete.
Well, thanks.
It's a good cause.
Thank you. Go ahead and donate.
Pete
McMurray on Facebook. Just donate. Click on the front page. All right. Time to take a look at news. 2:34. Pam?
Yeah, but I wasn't ready for that.
Bottom of the hour. You got to be ready.
Isn't that awful? Like, we were talking, and I got all involved in your conversation, and I completely forgot what I was...
Pam was online looking for the link so she could donate.
Totally, because I've had to do that, and I know how hard it is to raise that money. So,
I hate asking people for money, but it's tax deductible.
And it's such a worthy cause.
Yes.
Such a worthy cause.
It's only $2.
Yeah. Right. I had a friend from high school die of breast cancer, like, right before my performance. And it was, like, you can hear me getting all verklempt.
Yeah.
But to lose someone at any age to this illness, I mean, we have the power to turn this around, people.
Absolutely.
So, donate.
My wife's mother died of breast cancer back in the 90s. Yeah.
Really sad.
I mean, we all have a story. Right, that's why we need to help. All right, Pam, go ahead. Jane, we're getting close to game time.
I'm getting excited to eat something.
It is... 2:39, the game starts at 5:38.
2:39, 5:38. Yeah, we're getting close.
Three hours away from kickoff.
This is a holiday, right? For a lot of people, we go to parties, we eat
people
a lot of food.
People are taking calling in sick tomorrow.
Yes, of course. Do you pace yourself on the eating and the drinking, or do you just go right in early before
the
game?
It's a dead sprint. It is. It's a dead sprint. But my wife just sent me a text and she said, Charlie's got a stomach ache. I go, maybe I should just go to the party then. We shouldn't both stay home.
Who wants to go to the party more?
Me.
Who should
I
go
need to
the
get
party?
Out. I
you
just
do
need to
go.
I need to be around people.
What do you mean? mean? You're around people all the time.
I know. I love it.
You do love
it. I love it. Speaking of love, love it or hate it, it's time for weekend wrap-up.
Oh, boy.
Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl again.
Hate it.
Why do you hate it? Everybody loves a dynasty.
Okay, so here's the thing. Lots of people wearing Patriots jerseys. Lots of Patriots fans. I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You love the dynasty. I think that it's too much.
Is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time? Is he the greatest quarterback of all time?
If he wins today, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's a good quarterback. I think you got to give somebody else a chance.
Doesn't Tom Brady seem super boring to you? Have you ever heard him talk? He just seems like a guy that's vanilla. And God bless him.
He seems very cerebral, like he's always thinking about something.
Yeah, that's a little boring to me. I don't know if I could hang out with Tom Brady
that's
and
why
his
he's
wife,
so successful.
Gazelle Bunchkin.
Giselle. I wonder if they let a dog sleep in their bed.
How about, speaking of dogs, the puppy bowl. Love it or hate it?
I love it. What is there not to love about little puppies?
I don't even watch.
It's
I have no
so
time for
cute.
It. I don't even know where
puppies.
It is. Is it on Animal Planet? What is it?
You can find it on your local listings.
Super Bowl commercials. Love them or hate them?
Love them.
Yeah.
It's the thing is, like, when you're watching TV, you think, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to run over to the bathroom during a commercial. But during the Super Bowl, you just can't leave.
Yes. When do you go to the bathroom?
You can't because you got to watch the game and you got to watch the commercials.
They give you a little amount of time. They give you about 10 minutes at halftime because they do a recap and then they go to a commercial and then the Pepsi halftime show.
Now, isn't that funny because everyone is flushing their toilet at the same time.
You're right.
During Super Bowl halftime. In those 10 minutes, like the entire city will be flushing the toilet.
You're absolutely right. Groundhog's Day. Love it or hate it?
Indifferent? Is that an answer?
I love it. Why not? What's not the... Why do you hate Groundhog Day?
You can't hate the rodent.
No.
No.
Is
right.
it a rodent? What
it's
is it?
It's a rodent. I love it if do you
they,
want me to.
Do they cook it up?
They do cook it up.
Do they?
They sure do. It's a little tough, I've heard.
Here is a question for everyone listening right now. 312-981-7200, our phone number. Also, our text line. What is the most popular Super Bowl food eaten today? What is it? 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. What do you enjoy eating on Super Bowl Sunday?
Okay, wait. Is it so? The question is, what is the most popular, or what do you enjoy eating?
What is the most popular food
because
that will
be
eaten today?
There could be something popular, but there could be something we love.
What is number one?
Really?
Are you a dessert person?
No,
on Super Bowl.
I don't like desserts. I would much rather eat all the savory foods, like chips and dips, and chilies, and whatever else is there. Guacamole,
I always load up on the chips.
Chicken wings.
I always load up on the chips. That's my problem.
I'm hungry.
Shoot.
Guacamole.
Oh, I love
wings.
The guac. I had
know.
Some last night. It's like I got to turn it off.
Oh, you know what I love to make on
It's like I'm wearing
Super
a feed
Bowl?
Bag. Yeah?
mm-hmm. Quiche. And I'll tell you why.
Stop it, Jane.
I swear I bring the quiche to all the Super Bowl parties. And I'll tell you why. And I've been doing this for 20 years. People, it's an unexpected dish. But you bring quiche to a Super Bowl party. You could do like a vegetarian
Nobody's
one.
Eating quiche.
I'm telling you what. The guys at the party, the dudes are like, what? I love quiche. This is the best ever. Because it goes great with chili and it goes great with guacamole. And
all
it's
right.
just delicious. I know. It's a fun dish to bring.
What is the most popular number one food that's going to be eaten today? Let's go to Pat. Pat, what is it? Pat?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Guacamole
is number six on the list. Very good guess, but no, that is not the most popular. Thank
really?
You very much.
Guacamole is not the most popular.
Guacamole is number six on the list.
Wow.
Number six. Susan, what is it?
Wings.
Chicken wings, number one. Yes.
Ooh.
Chicken wings. I mean, think about it. How many wings are you going to be eating today?
How many wings am I going to be eating?
Yeah, how many will you eat?
I'm only going to eat a couple, but I know a lot of people eat a lot more.
I can eat eight. I love chicken wings.
I could probably...
How many I can eat if I didn't stop myself?
Yeah.
Probably about 10.
I could probably eat about 42.
42?
At one sitting, and I'm not
kidding.
Without
getting a stomachache?
Americans will eat more than 1.3 billion chicken wings today watching the Super Bowl. 1.3 billion.
Chicken wings?
That's amazing.
It's a lot of wings. Thank
I
you, Susan.
Wings.
What are you doing for the game today?
I am going to a party for
really?
My friend's house.
Are you bringing chicken wings?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm bringing meatballs and chicken tenders. I'm bringing chicken tenders, which is close.
Yeah, meatballs. Not bad.
That's a great, great item to serve.
Love
too.
The meatballs.
That's a great idea.
Do you have the toothpicks in the sauce in the crock pot?
Yes, I do.
God, that's wonderful.
I'm all set.
Give me your recipe that you throw in the crock pot. I'm curious.
It's 8 ounces of grape jelly.
Yeah, there it is.
Barbecue sauce. 18 ounces of jelly, 18 ounces of barbecue sauce, and 50 meatballs, and that's it.
Why the grape jelly?
Yeah, why the grape jelly? Is there sugar in it?
I don't know. It sounds disgusting, but it tastes great.
It does taste great. Grape jelly. That's the secret. Everybody does it every single year.
I've never known this.
Betty Ann, my mother.
She does the grape jelly.
Grape jelly,
too.
So
you just get the jar from the grocery store and then you dump it in there with the.
Or the plastic deal.
I never knew it.
Yeah, grape jelly
it's
is
so
in
easy.
It.
So easy. You gotta let it sit there for 3 hours, but you don't have to do anything.
Well, people mix grape jelly with their barbecue sauce, right?
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah. Half barbecue sauce and half grape jelly.
I mean, for their ribs, too,
and
besides the meatballs.
Slow cooker and you just leave it
on. I don't do that for ribs.
I love
it. I'm hungry.
God, I'm starving. I can't wait to eat. Thanks, Susan. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right. So, number one, chicken wings. Number two, buffalo chicken dip.
So, that's when it's the shredded chicken in the buffalo.
Oh, is that good?
It's so good.
That's so good.
I want to eat that right now.
Chips and dip at number three.
My favorite is the good old French onion dip. Sour cream, French onion soup mix, and then you put a little bit of cream cheese in there as well.
What are you eating that with?
Potato chips.
You going chips? You going veggies? Can you do veggies in there?
Yeah, veggies like carrots would be great. Celery is good. But I go potato chips on Super Bowl Sunday.
Most popular Super Bowl foods. Chicken wings, buffalo chicken dip. Number three, chips and dip. Number four, pizza.
Oh, these guys are going to be busy today.
Number five, seven-layer dip.
Love the seven-layer dip.
Which my wife bought for this party that we're not going to now, and I may stop by today.
Good news is you can eat it at home.
Listen, Sarah, I got to drop off the seven-layer dip. You can stay home with Charlie. Sorry. Number
this
six.
This just makes me want to cook.
Guacamole, right, seven potato skins. Number eight, pigs in a blanket.
Ooh, pigs in a blanket. What about, what are those things wrapped in bacon? Dates, not dates. They have dates, but they're also, sometimes they're water chestnuts wrapped in bacon.
Yes, water chestnuts and bacon.
Or the dates wrapped in bacon. Where does that fall? Is that on the list?
I don't see it on the list. I only have the top eight.
Oh.
But anything, you could wrap anything in bacon, people are going to eat it. Oh, right. Water chestnuts, which they don't taste like anything. It's just crunchy.
What about cheese popcorn?
No. I'm not going to hit cheese popcorn today.
I am, because then your fingers get all dirty and you wipe it on the couch.
I hate that.
That's my appetizer.
Why are people doing that? Do you drink beer today?
No, I never drink beer.
I know. I love it.
I will drink beer.
I'm
going to drink rum.
Okay.
I like rum.
Do you go wine and then fall asleep by halftime?
Yes. No, I can only pick one. It's either going to be wine or it will be rum.
Are you a rosé woman?
Nah, not really. I like a nice red wine.
I'm not kidding. We probably have at least 6 bottles of rosé in our refrigerator.
Well, you had the party last night. This is the pre-Super Bowl party.
Jeez. nearly 30 million slices of pizza from Pizza Hut and Domino's alone will be...
What about Papa John's?
It's not on the list.
Papa John's was closed on the polar vortex day.
It was?
Yeah, we have one right by the house. Closed.
Oh wow.
I know.
More than 325 million gallons of beer... That doesn't seem like enough.
325 million gallons of beer. Yeah, I feel like the guy down the street could drink half of that on any Sunday.
9,200 tons of chips will be eaten today in the United States. A lot, because chips don't weigh much at all.
Another thing, too, you got to think about it. When they're stacking the shelves and they're making these potato chips 6 months in advance, because you know that they don't go bad. They just sit on the shelf.
They do.
Do they ever run out?
I have no idea.
I know.
I don't know.
Make your own chips.
3 million pounds of nuts. Will you eat some nuts today? Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Because, you know, those are just easy. You just pick them up. You eat them while you're waiting for the wings to be ready.
God, I love the pigs in the blanket. I forgot about that. Dip them in a little mustard. Yeah. You got a beer. And by the way, never sit down during Super Bowl Sunday. I'm always standing up and eating. I'm bobbing and weaving and eating and grazing and doing the deal.
But if you get a seat, if you go to the party and you get a seat, a couch seat, you got to keep it. Because the second you get up to get more food, somebody else took your seat.
I'm trying to think. Kathleen and TJ are having the party. And last year, what did they do? They had two TVs in the family room kitchen area, which was great. So they had a TV where the kitchen is. You know, it's one big room.
Right.
So they have the TV on the wall, and they brought another TV in, and then they put a TV in the front room. The French room.
The French room.
Yes, and they have the TV in the basement.
Yeah, and the basement TV is good, too, if you want to just get away. I love the social part of being at the party and all the food and the fun, but you miss the commercials. You miss what the announcers are saying.
You do.
But if you don't really care about the game, who cares? You just see the commercials together.
Well, what do you want to hear? It's Jim Nantz and what's his face?
Well, wait, if it was my team, I want to hear what they say. Tony Romo is so good on the air.
I know he's good, but people just love on Tony Romo on Twitter.
He's great.
I know he's good. I don't know if he's... people hang on every word he says. I know he gets excited and it's fun, but I mean, he's an announcer on television.
He's done a great job. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I mean, I'm kind of late to the game. You know, he was on. I was like, who is that? And they said, that's Tony Romo.
Watch Twitter today.
Really good.
Oh, my God, Tony Romo. Oh, he got so excited. Nostradamus.
But he
predicted that before it happened, that pass.
But he's really good at knowing what's going to happen in the game, and he's really good at explaining it to regular people.
He's a quarterback. He should know.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like him.
Okay.
Good for him.
720 WGN. WGN TV. There it is right there.
We got it.
We had Tom Skilling on, Thursday night after the polar vortex. We were on late at night. Tom came on after 10, Tom.
Yeah, 10:30.
He was on at 10:30. I love Tom. We talked just about everything.
So many people called me the next day, and they're like, well, it was interesting what Tom was saying about, you know, his father being in World War II, or it was interesting when Tom was talking about doing other things besides the weather.
I want to get some text messages before Noonan comes in. 847 area code. Now I hate Groundhog Day since they eat the groundhog. That was a joke. They don't eat the groundhog.
It's ground hog. So yes,
there is no
like
eating.
Ground beef,
there is no eating the groundhog. There is no eating. We were talking about meatballs, how people put grape jelly, barbecue sauce, they put it in the crock pot and just let it sit there. Instead of barbecue sauce, according to 630, substitute Heinz chili sauce.
Mm, grape jelly.
And lemon juice.
Lemon goes great with everything.
Wow, what are you going to chow down on today, Brian?
Nothing.
What?
We're actually having chicken and rice. That's because I don't
care.
I don't care about the game. I'm not going to a party.
But it's football. You like football?
I like football.
What about the fanfare?
Come
on, man.
No, I'm very excited about the chicken and rice. Don't poo-poo the chicken and rice.
Really?
Yeah, this
chicken
is one of my wife's best dishes.
Tell us about it.
It seems too healthy.
It's a casserole kind of thing.
Chicken and rice in the casserole.
Yeah.
There's some
cream of chicken, cream of celery soup.
Yeah. I made that last week.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
No, since I don't care about the game, and I'm here till 7.
I don't think a lot of people care about the game. I think we just want to watch a good game.
I'll listen to it on the way home. I'll watch it when I get home.
You have the monitors on in the studio.
I've got monitors on in the studio.
Let's get back to the food.
Yeah,
because part of the whole thing for me, I don't care about the game either, but like, you're going to give me some pigs in a blanket, chili.
You will appreciate this, Jane, maybe more so than, and you will appreciate this, Pete, as a man who is constantly working. I've dropped 16 pounds since the first of the year.
Congratulations. So, that's hard work. Yeah. Good for you.
So I am not I don't need to eat a bunch of wings and stuff to enjoy.
Okay.
I'm not a dog. I don't reward myself with food.
That's fine. You're living a healthy life.
I'm trying
to
live a healthier life.
So good for you. You're being mindful of what you're putting in your mouth, as we all should.
Right.
And I think we do everything in moderation. So for me...
Oh, sure.
This is the day I'm going
to
binge.
Yeah, and there's, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. It's just, for me, it's not important to
totally
binge today.
Totally fine. I'm into that.
Since I'm not going anywhere.
Good for you.
Yeah, and you're working until 7.
Chicken and rice sounds delicious.
It is delicious.
So what happens, let's see, the game starts at 5:30, so halftime is going to be right around when you're driving home.
Yeah, usually, I mean, the last number of years when we were on in the evenings, I missed almost the whole game because we were on from 6 to 9.
Right.
So it was a whole game. So it doesn't, you know... If the Bears were in it or the Saints were in it, then I would be more, upset about missing part of it.
A lot of dead air.
Yes. Or just me just making sounds and screaming, oh, my God, what's going on? So that would be happening a lot. But today it'll be like, oh, okay.
You'll have it over here on the side eye.
Yeah, it's right there. I'm not,
You're
still an American. I still want to see it.
People are going to go to these parties. They're not going to pay attention to the game whatsoever.
Especially because our team's not in it.
I know. It's all about an event and just hitting a party.
Right, exactly. And since I don't socialize, Pete, you know that about me. I rarely leave the house. I come down here for a few hours and then I go out.
Talkative person I know here.
I'm very talkative.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I'm social. I talk to myself in a dark room. Yeah, that doesn't make me social.
You don't like going out?
I'll go out sometimes.
God,
you got
I love
a lot of
going
friends.
I know you do. You're always out.
I love it.
Well, you have a million outfits, so you have to go out. If you dress like that at home, people would think you were insane.
Yeah, you're right. I got to go out and show them off.
Yeah, yeah. Go out.
I think his wife is like, Pete, just get out of here. Talk to somebody else. And his son.
I can almost believe that.
Yeah.
I can almost believe that.
Wow.